morning. Always am blessed and encouraged by the way God puts things together, and thank you for those songs. They just fit with where the Lord was taking me over the week, and just God is so good and so faithful. There were a group of seniors in a senior's home, and it was coming up on Thanksgiving, and so they were just sharing around the table what they were thankful for, and some were thankful for a nice home to live in, and some were thankful for the friends in the home, and some were thankful for the staff, and one lady said, "Lord, I thank you for my two teeth, and that they, one on the top and one on the bottom, they match so that I can chew my food." Sometimes we have to look for the small things. That's during the challenges that we seem to face on a regular basis. As I've been asking the Lord where to go since he spoke 2 weeks ago, twice on humility, and he seemed to be leading me towards the concept of Thanksgiving. And I thought, well, it's a month early. And then I realized that we can be thankful 24/7, right? We don't have to wait till the first Sunday in October. And so that's where the Lord led me, and I'm going to look at three different passages in Colossians. And the first one is in chapter 1, if you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We did study through the book of Colossians shortly after the Lord led us here. And it's a book that I've always appreciated and enjoyed. But there are three passages in here that I want to look at. Thanksgiving seems to be a theme that Paul brings up several times in this book. And the first time is in Colossians 1, verses 9 to 13. Before we look at this, let's take a moment to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can have it in our hands, that we can read it, we can hear it, we can study it, that there is no law yet against having the Bible and reading it and making it the focus of our lives. Lord, I too want to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world where the Bible is illegal and where Christianity is illegal and persecuted. And we ask you to strengthen and encourage them as they gather in secret or sometimes around the radio, wherever you bring them together. May they be comforted and encouraged. And Lord, as we look into your word, may we also be comforted and encouraged and challenged to continue to pursue you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to learn to love you with every part of our being, and then to learn to let you love our neighbors through us. As we look into your word, Lord, open our eyes to your truth. Open our hearts to what you are saying to us, what you want to do in our lives, and how you want to apply your word to our day-to-day living. We thank you for your presence and for the Holy Spirit who leads us to all truth. Amen. So in Colossians, starting with verse 9, Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We have so many things to be thankful for, but the focus of our thankfulness, of our gratitude, should always come back to what Jesus has done for us, and that's one of the reasons I appreciated those songs, because that was the focus of those songs this morning, is all Jesus has done for us. And so Paul encourages us here to joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He took us from being lost, from being hopeless, from being destined for an eternity in the lake of fire, and he brought us into his kingdom, and he made us his children. And he has blessed us in many, many ways, but this is the focus of our relationship with him, as he has done it all. Just reminded me of the first line of Rock of Ages. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And that's a struggle sometimes for me to admit that I have nothing to offer God. That he does not owe me any thanks. He's quite pleased when I come to him and say, Lord, I have nothing to offer you. I just come empty-handed, but I receive all that you have for me. And to come with gratitude, with thankfulness for all that he has done. Sometimes I struggle with that tendency to complain, to grumble. I don't know about you, but that is a struggle that I sometimes have. And one of the places where I struggle with that is politics. And the Lord has been working on that in me. And again, I can look back over my life and see how God has worked in me, how he has changed my attitude from one where I grumbled more than I was thankful to one where I am thankful more than I grumble. But we have so much to be thankful for, and it starts, and the focus of it is all that he has given us and done for us in Jesus, translating us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The next passage I'd like to take a look at is found in chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. And by the way, I shared this when we went through Colossians before, but this is an excellent prayer. When you don't know what to pray for people, this is a good place. There's one in Ephesians, there's one in the Philippians, there's two actually in Ephesians. Some of Paul's prayers are excellent prayers to pray for people. And so this is the one that I've been using for quite some time in my daily prayer time for the people on my daily prayer list. This is one of the things that I pray for them. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And again, that's something that we should always be thankful for, always should rise gratitude up inside of us for the fact that God chose us. Jesus said to the disciples, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And that certainly was my experience. I didn't choose God. He chose me, and then he had to convince me that I should say yes. But we are God's chosen people. He chose us, and he made us holy, and he has shown us how much he dearly loves us. So then in response, he says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I just want to draw a few things out of this passage. Verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. One of the things that I have found in the years that God has had me in the ministry is it's really hard for Christians to forgive. Certain things are just unforgivable. Certain actions, certain behaviors are unforgivable. And I may have shared this with you before, but there were two people in my life quite some time ago that I just couldn't forgive them. No matter how hard I tried, I knew I needed to. I knew that God says, if I don't forgive, he doesn't forgive. But I couldn't. And I was sitting in the back, first time ever in a Pentecostal church. I don't know if any of you have had that experience. I sat right at the back, right by the door, so that if things got out of hand, I could escape. They didn't get out of hand. I didn't need to escape. But that's the first time I ever experienced a preacher who preached right to me. There might as well have been nobody else in that room. He just spoke exactly to my situation. And he said, when you can't forgive somebody, you get off by yourself and you get on your knees and you say to God, God, I can't forgive. But you can put forgiveness in me, and I'm not leaving my knees and I'm not leaving this room until you give me forgiveness for this individual. I did it, and it worked. And there are people who don't deserve forgiveness. There are people who, from a human perspective, are not forgivable. What they did is not forgivable. But we aren't human people on this earth. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And yes, we live on this earth, but we're not here to be of the earth. We just are here in transition into our future. And because of that, God has promised to give us the ability to forgive. And so I encourage you, if there's somebody in your life that you have trouble forgiving, get by yourself, get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm not leaving here until you put forgiveness in my heart for this person. I guarantee you it will work, and you can walk away from there free. We are to forgive as the Lord forgave us. And over all these virtues to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The change from unforgiveness to forgiveness and learning to love people, and I've experienced this, one of those people, God put love in my heart, not just forgiveness, but love for my heart. It was my stepdad. And by the time he passed away, God had given me a tremendous love for him, not because he deserved it any more than I deserve God's love, but because God is able to put not only forgiveness, but love in our hearts for people. Some of us have experienced having calluses on some part of our body. Some people get them on their feet. Way back in what seems like a different lifetime, I used to play the guitar. And I had calluses on my fingers from playing the guitar. They're not there anymore. But calluses are very much a good illustration of a hard heart. That's what happens when we don't forgive. When we refuse to forgive somebody, we develop a callus in our heart. And God has to take that callus away. And he's the only one that actually can. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And if you remember back in the Gospels, Jesus said, peace I give you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. It's a very different peace than anything the world can offer. It's a peace that just washes right through our whole being, and no matter what comes at us, we can continue to be at rest and be at peace and know that God is in control and God is on the throne, no matter what is happening around us. And so let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The only way to do this is to have Christ ruling in our hearts, to have the Holy Spirit in control of our lives. And it's a process. It's not something that happens instantaneously. We're such an instantaneous society. We like the microwave and we like pills because they're fast acting. We need bigger and stronger and better vehicles and machines and everything else. Why? Because we're always in a hurry. We have to get things happening. And part of that is, the part of letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts is learning to wait, to be patient, to sit back and wait on him, rest in him, and allow him to do the slow work that it sometimes takes to change us from what we used to be to Christ-likeness. And then he says, and be thankful. And here's just quick, be thankful, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And the only way to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly is for us to dwell in it. It takes time to put the word of God into us, reading it, listening to it, sharing it with one another, studying it. But as we spend time in the word of God, it dwells in us more and more, and it becomes what focuses, or what our minds become focused on, what our lives become focused around, is the word of Christ. And it's the word of Christ that will change our minds, that will renew our minds, that will lead us into Christ-likeness, the new man that God has created us to be. And admonish one another with all wisdom as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Coming back again to where we started with in First Group, in Colossians chapter 1, is this whole concept of realizing that everything that has any value in our lives came from God. Everything that is important in our lives, He has done. We have to come to Him with empty hands and say, Lord, I have nothing to offer, but I receive everything that you have for me. And sometimes we struggle with this concept of not being able to give something back to God, not being able to exchange. Some of us have a mentality that we grew up with that you don't ever take anything for nothing. You always give something back, or you always give something in trade. And we want to bring that into our relationship to God, and we can't. Because anything we would offer to God is, as Isaiah says, filthy rags. Our righteousness, which is the best we can be and the best we can do, is as filthy rags before God. And so we need to come with this concept of gratitude that God has done everything for us. We can't do anything. We don't have to do anything. We shouldn't try to do anything for Him in exchange for what He's done. That doesn't mean that we don't go out and do good things for Him or allow Him to do good things through us. But it means we don't try to exchange with Him. We just gratefully and thankfully accept all that He has done for us and given us in Jesus as a gift. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So three times in this last paragraph here, we're told to be thankful, to have gratitude, and to give thanks. It's an attitude that, as I said, I've watched God change in me from more complaining and grumbling to more thankfulness. Still have a long ways to go, still trusting God to keep that change happening. I just want to quickly touch on a couple of other passages. In Ephesians 5:20, we're told to always give thanks to God the Father for all the nice things in our lives. He says, for everything, all the good things, all the bad things, everything that happens in our lives, we're to give thanks for. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is the one that Judith quoted. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for us? That we would be thankful in all circumstances, that we would give thanks for everything. I remember reading a book when I was just a new Christian, and it was called Praise God Anyway. And I just skimmed it because that's the best way for me to read a book. And it was the concept of there are bad things that happen. We don't have to like them. We don't have to be thankful for them. But we can praise God in spite of them. And that worked great until I started reading some of these passages which said, thank God for everything. Thank God in all circumstances. In other words, it's a change of attitude from bad things happen, but I'll thank God in spite of them, to everything that happens in my life is ordained or allowed by God for my good, to conform me to the image of Jesus and to allow Him to work in me and through me in the lives of those around me. Sometimes He gives us the opportunity to suffer for the sake of a neighbor or a family member or somebody else. But it's this idea that I can thank God for everything and in all circumstances, because everything that He allows or ordains for my life is designed for good and worth thanking Him for. Some of you are familiar with this story, but I will share it again because it's worth repeating. There's a story of a little boy who wanted his mother to pay him for all the services he was rendering in the home. He left her a note that read, For washing the dishes, you owe me a dollar. For cleaning my room, you owe me a dollar. For hanging up my clothes, you owe me a dollar. For mowing the lawn, you owe me a dollar. Mama, you owe me. Pay up. He printed a bill for her totaling $4 and gave it to her. The mother came and put $4 on the kitchen table, and she gave him a note of her own. The note simply said, "For carrying you 9 months and being sick as a dog, no charge. For staying up all night with you night after night when you were sick, no charge. For working overtime so that I could get you those special tennis shoes, no charge. For entertaining your friends when you wanted to bring them over without notice, no charge. Signed, your mother who loves you. Total owed, zero." After reading the note, the young man realized that he had lost sight of how good his mother was to him. And he had turned a love relationship into a business deal. He had said to his mother what a lot of God's children say to him, "Pay up, what's in it for me?" I'd like to close this message by looking at a third passage in Colossians, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Again, the focus here is on our relationship with God, and although it's not included in this verse, that context is all that God has done for us. And how can we respond to that? We can devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And that would be my challenge to you. The challenge that God keeps laying before me is to devote myself to prayer, to my relationship with Him, to interacting with Him, both talking to Him, but even more importantly, listening to Him. He speaks. Am I listening? Do I want to know what He says? Do I want to hear what He has to say? Being watchful. Again, Jesus encouraged the disciples over and over again to watch with Him. And if you'll remember in the garden, He said, "Watch and pray." Why should we watch and pray? Because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. And I don't know that it's the case, but had Peter prayed instead of sleeping, maybe he wouldn't have denied Christ. So we are to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to pray without ceasing, to always be in that consciousness of our relationship with God, how important it is, all that He's done for us, and to be thankful. Wouldn't it be nice if when people are talking about us at our funeral, one of the things that we would say was, "He or she was always giving thanks to God." And Father, we do thank You for all that You have done for us. Sometimes, Lord, we forget to be thankful. Sometimes we forget how much You have actually done for us. And sometimes we elevate what we have done and think it's worth more than it really is. Lord, help us to remember that when we come to You, it needs to be with the attitude of, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." Amen.